This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is, in fact, on the air, and here's proof. I'm on the television, and you're hearing me on radio or on the podcast version of the show. I'm here, you're there, and for some reason, he's blocked me. We're here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, and we're thrilled to be here live on a Friday in Los Angeles, where if you told USC Trojans fans way back when Lincoln Riley first arrived from Oklahoma, when he first showed up here and the palm trees are here and the blue sky's there.
Palm trees and Tom Pease.
And we were all like, wow, okay, so he's left Oklahoma and he's coming here to USC. And wait a minute, Caleb Williams is coming with him, huh?
Yeah, buddy.
And if you had told every single USC fan that they would be one Pac-12 championship game victory over Utah away from making the college football playoffs, they'll be like, where is that piece of paper? Let me sign it.
Winning in, that's all you want.
That's it. A one-point loss to Utah early on in the campaign has led to, remarkably, a repeat and a rematch where Utah wins. And I guess it's the best option for the Rose Bowl to have Utah back, I would imagine, right? We'll see what happens. The bowl season's kind of wacky. Figure this thing out. And if Utah wins, then the fan base that had a Chernobyl-like meltdown and wanted Ryan Day out, because how dare he lose back-to-back games to the University of Michigan by giving up 40 points in each? How dare he do that? The fan base that lit him up and was chanting for Urban Meyer to come back will do a complete 180 and say, look out for us. You all thought we were dead and buried, but look out for us. They are ready for it. Every last Buckeye fan is ready to just make that pivot as if their fans chanting for Urban Meyer to come back never existed. It never happened. And Utah can make that happen tonight, because if USC loses, everyone assumes it'll be the Ohio State getting in. Now, I will just ask this question, Chris, TJ, everyone else out there who wants to call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I am, this is what's called a call to action. I want to know, because if Utah wins tonight, the debate will be, why should a team in USC that made its conference championship game and thus had to play another game, and in trying to win its conference championship, lost, and a team that's sitting at home because they were not having to play in their conference championship game because they lost at home to their bitter rival, why should a team that made its conference championship and thus had to play another game is now out because they lost that other game, and a team that didn't have to play at all and put anything on the line except maybe their couch cushion in a proper place, they now get in? Chris, I give you that floor on that.
Because that's
roosting tonight, sure, if Utah wins.
Unfortunately, it's just the flaw in the system and the way it's kind of set up with conference championship games right now. There's no other way around it. It is a second loss. I think in this unique case with USC and Utah, it would be USC's second loss to the same team.
Correct.
So that makes them look like, hey, okay, you got a second shot at him. You couldn't beat him. You're just not as good as them. Ohio State, only the one loss. It was a close game for most of it. You know, maybe the last third it wasn't. But a lot of pro prospects. Heisman Trophy candidate for a majority of the season, a little bit more deserving.
I'm just talking about the, yes, and I understand what you just gave me there, the general concept, though.
Yeah, but the USC. Yeah, there's a built-in flaw in the concept. That's the problem.
It's
I agree with you on that.
It's always been this way with college football.
Alabama got in the same way, remember, a few years ago?
Right, so. Don't lose late.
Don't lose late.
Yep. Don't be the last one to lose. Yeah. If you want to lose, lose early.
Lose early. Get it over.
But that's so dumb.
Lose early. Yeah, it is dumb. And it's going to be rectified
now. Football teams progress. Cincinnati Bengals, perfect example.
Yep.
They progress and become better.
But also,
as the season goes along.
Shouldn't it make a difference? Okay, Ohio State lost to you guys, right? That's a top team that they lost to.
No question.
Even though it was at one loss, it was late in the season. So it's like it's not like they lost to an unranked team. Like they lost to Michigan.
Yeah, true. They didn't lose to Iowa or just like Minnesota, whoever. You know, they lost to the number two team in the nation. So that counts too.
In a game that was, like you said, fairly competitive to a point.
Yeah, but till the end. But yeah.
So, but Chris, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. USC loses to Utah twice, and it's kind of like, all right, right. Well,
you had your shot to make up for it, and you didn't.
22-point loss at home. I just want to make sure that if this does happen, and I know this is going to upset you, Chris, but I mean, it is what it is. Just don't lose that intensity if the reverse happens. If Michigan lost by 22 at home to Ohio State, a two losing to a three, we would have dropped like a stone. I'm telling you, there is a bias towards Ohio State. It exists, and we're seeing it.
When was the last time your quarterback was a Heisman Trophy candidate? The favorite all year up until the last 2 weeks.
No, I know that. I got you. We had a running back who was a Heisman Trophy favorite until he took an Illinois helmet to his knee.
Okay. Well, quarterback different than running back, obviously.
But. So that's the difference? Because Caleb Williams is the front runner for the Heisman.
He's going to win.
Right. So shouldn't that put USC in regardless of what happens tonight?
No, I mean, the two loss to the same opponent. I mean, that's kind of puts you out.
So, I'm just front-loading what can happen. If Utah wins tonight, which it most certainly can.
Could.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Let me just ask you this. Are you going to be disappointed, upset, if Ohio State gets into this?
No, it is what it is. I mean...
You're in, so...
No, it is what it is. I will say this. I don't want to see them again.
Not for fear of anything.
It's just beating an opponent for a set. That Utah must be like we gotta beat them again.
Yeah, we all know that's tough.
But that's
the same opponent
twice.
That's
how the conference championship works. They're in different divisions and they face each other.
Just take a look at the.
If Oregon hadn't blown it, Utah wouldn't be in this position.
You see these things. You pay attention more than I do. I just see them cross my timeline because it gets retweeted into it. But I saw Michigan's matchup with all the potential teams that they would have to face in the college football playoff. And they have they're underdogs to Georgia, and they are favorites against USC and TCU.
Favorites is USC too, huh?
And they're pick 'em against Ohio State. So why would I want to have a team that we're so-called pick 'em against? I mean,
well, pick them. That's good for you. You got up to 9-point dogs.
I got it
last week.
I understand that. It's just so tough. It is what it is. If we face them again, I mean, that would be similar to. It would be, I think, even bigger than UNC versus Duke facing each other in the Final Four.
Rich,
that would be through the roof. I mean, and I bet the College Football Playoff Committee would love for that to be a matchup in the national championship game.
Here's how.
Do you imagine the national championships on the line between
Absolutely.
These two teams?
Here's how.
Not just bragging rights.
Here's how I'm seeing it. Here's how it's setting up for me. I think, all due respect to TCU, they should be on upset alert. Okay. Kansas State wins. TCU's out. Ohio State.
I don't think TCU's out if TCU loses.
Oh, I do. I do because of this. Because you're setting up a situation where it becomes Georgia, Ohio State, and then an old school Rose Bowl matchup. USC Michigan in the other semifinal.
You don't think they'd
sign up for that?
Of course they would sign up for it. But
and then you got a potential Michigan-Ohio State championship.
Let's button up this conversation with the same question that I ask you. Because you're like, well, USC loses for a second time. Two is larger than the number one. It's a simple math equation.
Simple math.
Right? Where a team that has one loss gets in over a team that has two losses. TCU would have the same number of losses as Ohio State. I would proffer to say it would be worse. It would be more of an affront if Ohio State makes it and TCU doesn't, because TCU had to play in a conference championship game and Ohio State didn't, they'd have the same number of losses. One loses in its conference championship. You could say Ohio State lost in its de facto conference championship, but it's really just for the right to win the Big Ten East.
And that's totally fine. And that would be true if the precedent wasn't already set
from Alabama.
So because that already existed in a situation where the team had one loss, didn't play in their conference championship game, mm-hmm. and still got in and leapfrogged. So that's out the window now.
So you think that should happen? TCU loses to Kansas State.
See ya.
I don't know about that, brother. If Michigan Ohio State was close, I would sit here and say that.
Remember,
it
Rich,
wasn't even close,
remember,
Chris.
Just remember.
At the end, it was not close.
Just remember, at the end of the day,
yes.
These are television programs. Ratings matter. If Ohio State is in there, the number is way bigger than if it's TCU Georgia. Just remember that.
I would just feel for the kids in the TCU locker room, I'll tell you that. And I know I said that the loser of Michigan Ohio State should make it regardless, but I said that if it was a close game, and it wasn't.
It was not.
Boy, that's all on the line tonight and tomorrow. Okay, Christopher, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break because I don't want to make this so tight.
Oh.
We're going to chat with Tyrann Mathieu. We'll do a little What's More Likely.
Huh.
How does that sound?
Let's do it.
Tyrann Mathieu, we'll ask him about the Tigers going against Georgia this weekend. And, of course, his Saints going against the Bucks. That's coming up. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain. It's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here. And with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
Okay, so we're going to be fair and balanced. Rashad White's going to join us from Arizona State in hour number three. Okay.
Currently on the Bucs.
I know. It looks like Leonard Fournette's back practicing.
I saw that.
So, you know, having Rashad White on, I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. We want to be fair and balanced because we're about to have Tyrann Mathieu on this program.
Yep.
And I have Rashad White on my fantasy league. I got to have a win this week. And I'm concerned. How many snaps is he going to get? Leonard Fournette's coming back, right? Gio Bernard's now active. Mm-hmm. The Saints, I mean, Christian McCaffrey didn't run all over him. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So
he can't really run the ball anyway.
Might hunt and peck for information. Do my best. But Rashad White had a big game against Seattle and Munich, and we're going to talk to him about it in hour number three. But right now, let's go to the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line. Let's do that. Let's chat with one of our favorites back at home with a New Orleans Saints team that is still alive in this crazy, crazy mixed-up NFC South world. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line is our friend from the New Orleans Saints, Tyrann Mathieu, back here on the show. How you doing, Tyrann?
Rich, how you doing, man? Always good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice as well. So walk me through the current state of affairs there in New Orleans and how you would characterize it now entering December play.
Well, I think it's fair to say that, you know, we still have a chance, you know, given, you know, how our division, you know, is playing out. You know, but obviously it's, you know, disappointing. You know, I think that we all had, you know, high expectations, you know, coming into a season. And we just really haven't been able to kind of put, you know, 2, 3, 4 games together, you know, that that we could be proud of. So, you know, obviously it's December, and, you know, if we're able to kind of finish this month strong, you know, I think a lot of people would probably forget, you know, how the first couple months of the season went for us. So just trying to keep a, you know, a positive perspective on it, knowing that, you know, still a lot of football, you know, that's left to be played for us.
Absolutely. And and you're just 2 losses behind the leader of the division. So no one is running away with it right now. What do you need to do to prepare to take on Tom Brady? It's not your first such rodeo, obviously, not even just this year. But what is that process like, Tyron?
Well, I think defensively, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, how can we, you know, affect him, you know, in a negative way? You know, I think, you know, obviously, you know, being able to create turnovers, you know, generate pressure, you know, challenge those receivers on the back end, you know, I think that'll give us the best, you know, opportunity to win the game. You know, I think obviously, you know, it's not much disguising, you know, you can do against a guy like that. You know, I think the scheme is what it is. You know, it's going to come down to man on man, you know, how bad do we want it, knowing that, you know, it's going to take 4 quarters with this guy. You know, it's not going to be, you know, just playing 1 clean half, you know, or playing a good half. You know, we really got to be able to put together, you know, a 4-quarter, you know, game. You know, so I think that's like the best, you know, way to prepare for him is to really get your mind right.
And then, yeah, and I imagine, you know, you have had literal run-ins with Tom Brady before, have you not, Tyron Matthew, right? Literal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think me and Tom have played in some, you know, some highly competitive, you know, games,
yes.
You know, where it was, you know, do or die, you know, win or go home. So, you know, I always took great pride in, you know, competing against him. You know, he always brings out the best in you, and, you know, sometimes, you know, he could bring out the worst in you, too.
would Lattimore say the same thing about Mike Evans too, Tyron? What do you think?
I think those guys have had, you know, more run-ins than me and Tom has had, you know, over the years. So,
and it's possible Lattimore can be back in time for this one too. Not to have you tell me any injury news that maybe you're not allowed to, but it does appear that he could be in this mix for Monday night. Tyron.
Yeah, and I think anytime you have a player, you know, with that kind of ability, you know, that kind of tenacity, you know, I think he's one of the few cornerbacks in this league that, you know, plays like that. You know, obviously a couple other, you know, Jalen Ramsey, those type of guys come to mind, but, you know, he's definitely up there in that category. And I think, you know, anytime you're able to have him on the field, you know, it's a big impact, you know, for your team.
Tyron Matthew here on the Rich Eisen Show. And look, I know you didn't win the game this past weekend, but and the offense, you know, was about, you know, obviously things didn't go your way in San Francisco. But I'm just wondering your performance, defensive performance against an offensive unit that was really humming going into the game, and how you were able to affect things against San Francisco. Can you know, what were you able to do you think, against them that not only you can use for Monday, but others might be able to use as a blueprint against a team that so many people are thinking can make the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking back on, you know, the game Sunday against the Niners, you know, obviously, you know, holding those guys to 13 points, you know, that kind of offense, you know, that kind of scheme, you know, with those kind of players, you know, obviously I think that is, you know, something to be proud of. But, you know, I can't help myself. You know, we had 2 opportunities in the red zone to, you know, catch interceptions or make big plays for our team. You know, I had the one, you know, in the back of the end zone, you know, where I kind of tipped the ball in the air. You know, the guy ran under it, caught a touchdown. And then we had one earlier, you know, I believe in the second quarter, you know, where, you know, one of our cornerbacks got his hand on the ball and he couldn't come down with it. So, you know, for me, that's 10 points right there, you know, that we kind of, you know, let those guys put on the board. So, you know, I think if we were able to make those plays, you know, I think we definitely would have put our team, you know, in a better position, you know, to kind of, you know, help us win the game.
Are you going to settle in to watch the SEC championship game somewhere? Is your practice or travel schedule prevented? What do you got for me on that front this weekend for you?
Well, we play Monday night, so I should have Saturday evening off. So, mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, I'm definitely going to be locked in on my Tigers. I didn't go our way last week, you know, at College Station, but I'm hoping those guys can, you know, get back motivated and, you know, go ahead out and shock the world.
I'm just trying to sit here because, you know, there's a lot of Ohio State guys on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to tell them hello for me, that would be welcome, you know, not to get you, pull you into my little mosh pit here, but you can tell them I said hi. You know,
go blue. I got you, Rich.
Oh, by the way, I like that. I certainly like that coming from you right there. Do you think, in all seriousness, the Tigers can kind of upend things with Georgia? What do you think? For real?
Well, I think we've shown, you know, really, you know, over the course of the season that, you know, we can either play up or down to our competition. And so, you know, I'm really hoping that these guys can, you know, really get themselves riled up. You know, I know Brian Kelly and Matt House, I know those guys are going to be prepared for that challenge. So, obviously, you know, Georgia is a great team. You know, I think Kirby is doing a great job with those guys. But I do see my Tigers stepping up to the challenge and playing some good ball Saturday.
What's going on with you community-wise off the field? I always love talking to you and giving you an opportunity to talk about what you're doing when you're not playing football. Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah. Well, so a couple of weeks ago, I had my annual turkey drive, you know, where we were able to kind of be a resource for, you know, close to 500 families. So, you know, that's always something that, you know, I look forward to, you know, each and every year, especially during the holidays. And, you know, next week after the Tampa game, you know, I'll be hosting, you know, about a group of 20 families. You know, we're going to have a private, you know, dinner with those guys. You know, let the kids kind of open up some gifts. So all of this is a surprise. So I'm hoping that they're not, you know, listening in right now. But
okay. All right.
So next week is going to be, you know, our annual kind of Christmas giveaway. So and then after that, I'll be partnering with, you know, Son of the Saint, which is a great organization, you know, here in New Orleans that does a lot of great work, you know, at-risk youth. So just looking forward to, you know, this next month, just kind of knocking that out and, you know, like always, man, just trying to, you know, throw my hand in the pile and, you know, help out the people, you know, that really need it.
What has it been like for you? Again, I know the win-loss is not to your liking or your, like, expectation level. What has it been like for you to be back home as a professional football player for you?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, it's been a blessing, you know, to kind of be able to come back here. You know, and I'm just more so proud of, you know, how I've been able to kind of handle, you know, everything. You know, I think it was obviously high expectations for the team, but I think individually as well, you know, a lot of people had, you know, high expectations for me too. So, you know, for me, I think it's always been the same, you know, just trying my best to, you know, stay humble, you know, always, you know, stay committed to, you know, what's at hand, you know, and I think that's playing football, but obviously, you know, trying my best to, you know, lead the community and be, you know, one of those guys that, you know, impact the community in a positive way. So, and then it's always good to get home cooking, you know. Mm. So that's been a blessing, you know. So, yeah, man, I can't complain.
A lot of teammates reach out to you to help them make a reservation in town because you can get that, I'm sure, perhaps better than most, you know, like your own.
Oh, yeah. They all want my hookups and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah. But... You know, I've never been one not to share. So
no, I know that. But after a while, you got to tell the guys, like, your nickname is an open table, for crying out loud, you know?
Right.
You know, you can't just do it all the time. But, I mean, it's pretty cool, man, that you got to go back home. And I wish you the best of luck on Monday Night Football. I will most certainly be watching. And it's always great to catch up with you, Tyrann Mathieu. It's always great.
Thanks, Rich. Means a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Right back at you. That's Tyrann Mathieu of the New Orleans Saints right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see him on Monday Night Football, and I will be in the studio for Monday Night Football pregame and halftime of Bucks and Saints on Westwood One Radio. And you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com. as well by Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. I leaned in on that one for you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Greatly appreciate the chuckle. Thank you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take this phone call. Tom in Ohio, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tom?
Rich, how you doing today?
What's going on?
Hey, I want to give you a scenario that you ought to be absolutely positively rooting for 100% Ohio State getting back in these playoffs.
Okay.
Think about the situation. Think about their fans, what's happened to Michigan in the last 10 years or so against them.
Yep.
If Ohio State gets in and by chance a situation where you guys play them again and beat them down by 20 or 30 points, just think about the fantastic feeling you would have then.
Oh, no question.
It wouldn't be the elation that you have now. It would just be, it'd be unbelievable.
Oh, I agree. It would certainly be in the same way that, I would say, does a Duke fan have a leg to stand on with North Carolina? Right? Mm-hmm. Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, for hoops?
Sadly, no.
Hey, we not only prevented you from winning it all in Coach K's last year, but we sent him to retirement.
Absolutely.
Not only in Cameron, but all
last home
also.
We want Urban. We want Urban.
No, I know.
Think about that.
No, I know that. I totally get it, and I understand what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Okay.
I appreciate it. You say things with your chest or what have you, but I'm just being straight up honest. As I always am in this chair and behind this microphone. Would I like to see Ohio State back in it? They'd be a very stout opponent for anybody. Anybody. I would imagine Jackson, Smith, and Jigba will be back, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, who knows? They could get some players back. They'd be really good. That's why Ohio State fans have gone from Ryan Day stinks, get him out of here, this is the worst thing ever, we totally stink, we deserve it, to no, we should be in it and watch out for us. Like, that's literally the reversal that's happening. And just look at your Twitter feed tonight if Utah wins.
How can I do that, Rich?
I'm sorry. How have you not been restored if Kanye's been restored and now taken away?
I mean, 45's back, Andrew Tate's back, but 2 Jiggy, still banned.
Really? Have you checked?
Oh, yeah.
Just checked. Still suspended.
What the hell? All for taking a screenshot and video of a DAZN boxing match? Is that really what it was?
Two words for DAZN, okay.
Oh, careful. Yeah. Let's get to it. It's a Friday.
Hey!
What's more likely? Hit it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Ah, okay. Go for it, Chris Brock.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm great.
Hey Chris.
Good? Great. It's fine. It's raining. What's more likely? We get home
mustache.
In one piece or not? You miss my mustache? Might come back
a little
here.
Bit.
All right, let's get to it, guys. 7-4 team most likely to score a road upset. Jets or Titans?
Jets.
I mean, the question wasn't out of your mouth.
Jets.
You really mean that?
What am I saying? I just said moments ago, I say what I'm sitting here and what I'm feeling.
He just said he wouldn't lie to you sitting that chair behind
I really like the Jets this weekend.
3-point dogs.
A lot.
More disrespect for the Vikings.
Hey, man. Let me give you the flip side of it. The Tennessee Titans are going to be rolling Derrick Henry downhill at the same spot that A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones had a very nice night. So that's cool. I just can't imagine
that A.J. Brown doesn't have like 200 yards.
I can't imagine that Jalen Hurts doesn't look at his friend from a long time ago. Remember Jalen Hurts came on the show, I think in October, and told that story about how he's known A.J. Brown since college, right? And they're friends.
Old friends.
And they're old friends. I cannot imagine Jalen doesn't go to A.J. Brown this week and say,
how many you want?
Correct. How many do you want?
Two, three.
So that's the way I look at it. And I'm also very bullish on the Jets. My concern, the Jets running back room is totally banged up. Michael Carter is now doubtful to go. For them. And so I'm concerned that there might not be enough balance but I'm if I just saw what Mac Jones and that offense that the Buffalo Bills have now left in tatters being talked about as being vanilla and too predictable, here come the Jets. Elijah Moore, proof of life. We saw it. So I'll go with the Jets in that one.
All right, let's
do it. Do you accept my it wasn't just a homerism thing, Chris?
No, I do. I do accept.
Thank you,
I
sir.
I think the Jets is the more likely one.
Thank you.
Let's stick with the revenge game here. More likely to have a bigger game against his former team, A.J. Brown or Deshaun Watson.
Oh, please. I need to see what Deshaun Watson looks like. He hasn't played in 700 days.
It
will be 700 days. Let's not forget, it was last year where the Texans just said, you stay home. Yeah. You stay home. Okay? It's been 700 days since he's played a football game.
He might still be awesome.
He might still be awesome, and it may take some time for him to get up to speed. I'll go with, again, A.J. Brown. I just think Jalen Hurts is going to be like, you are going to get the ball. How many times you get the ball is up to you. You tell me. I think this is going to be a good day for A.J. Brown.
I hope it's a lot. All right, these two teams are playing each other. Big NFC East game here. Who's more likely in the end to make the playoffs, Commanders or Giants?
I'll go Commanders right now. I would go Commanders right now. I don't know, man.
I agree with
if
you.
I had to choose which one is more likely to have their carriage turned back into a pumpkin, I'd go with the Giants right now. Although the Giants did say that they had a very nice meeting with Odell Beckham Jr., did they not?
I saw that.
Okay. I'll go Commanders. I kind of, by the way, the Commanders have a bye week coming up, too. So they'll get a healthy. And I'm assuming Chase Young will be healthy and he can get back on the field. I mean, they opened the window and he was ready to go if it wasn't for an illness last week. Yeah, man. I'll go with the Commanders right now. They're hitting them with a Heineke. What
They've
else,
won
Chris?
Six out of seven, right?
They have won.
So impressive.
I know.
Are we sleeping on Ron for Coach of the Year?
I just don't think they're going to have nearly as many wins as the Eagles, and I think Sirianni is in line for it, and the same thing with Mike
but we
McDaniel.
We expected the Eagles to be good this year.
I know, I know. And the fact that Ron Rivera is also, I mean, Alex Smith made some news over the summer when he came on the program and said it's really difficult to block out the noise of what's going on from the front office and outside the stadium coming in with the front office and the ownership. It's tough to block that out, and Ron Rivera keeps doing it. What else, sir?
A home team to most likely get caught napping. Home team that could get caught napping. Ravens or Cowboys?
I don't think the Cowboys are getting caught napping this weekend. I don't think.
What time's the game?
I know.
Sunday?
It's 8:20 p.m. Eastern time on NBC. Sir.
Oh, so that's varsity. That's prime time, right?
Hey, look, I know you keep saying the varsity this, the varsity that.
Don't worry. But, my friends for years hate it, too. Don't worry.
No, TJ. I'm back in your play. The NBC had every opportunity. It was, you know, you have 2 weeks to flex out of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 weeks ago, it was Jeff Saturday, I think, was coming off of that win in Vegas. They had every opportunity to say, this isn't going anywhere, and we're out. And they could have – I would imagine Fox didn't protect Tennessee and Philadelphia, but that would have put Philly in the Sunday night spot 2 weeks in a row. Was Miami and San Francisco protected?
Maybe.
I don't know, man.
That would have been a good Sunday night game.
But they kept in it. The Ravens taking on the Broncos. Wow, I would say that's more likely. I don't think either of these things are going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either. But, you know,
but I'd say that's more likely.
All right.
Could you imagine Russ versus Lamar if Russ came in at 8-3?
Yeah, it would be
amazing. And everybody and
that
Russ
probably got
and the Broncos looked like the team that everybody thought they would be. And right now we're just like, it's all about who didn't go to Russ's birthday party and what Lamar Jackson tweeted out after losing to Jacksonville.
Disrespect is real.
What else, Chris?
Oh, my gosh. Hey. Monster game, Chiefs-Bengals.
Yes, sir.
QB to have the bigger game and the win, Mahomes or Joey B.
I'm going to go Joe Burrow.
You're picking the Bengals?
I'll tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, wow.
I know. Hey, listen. Eric, just enjoy your Big 12 championship game and turn the sets off right now. I'm choosing the Bengals on Sunday.
Woo.
I'm choosing the Bengals on Sunday.
I like it.
I'm telling you right here, right now, maybe you hand me the lone wolf hat because you know Mooch is going to stick with Andy Reid.
Of course.
Okay. I don't know what Kurt. It's what Kurt's.
Kurt's a wild card.
Kurt does things like.
Kurt's a wild card.
Kurt does things like watch film.
Well, okay.
I go with my gut. I go with gut and feel. I go with gut and feel.
Head or gut.
Joe Burrow's never lost to the Bengals.
I'm telling you right now, I'm taking the Bengals on Sunday, barring anything totally nuts happening. Taking the Bengals at home in the jungle. What else, Chris? What else?
All right, the other big game is Dolphins 49ers.
Ja'Marr Chase is back too, right? Or he's supposed to be?
I think so.
Okay, what else you got?
I think Joe Mixon's still out. Bigger factor in the win for one of these teams.
Yes.
Dolphins run game or the Niners pass game?
I'll go Dolphins run game.
You're picking the Dolphins?
Hey, man. That's the Miami 49ers. I don't know if I'm going to choose the Dolphins, but you just asked a bigger factor.
Yeah. In the win.
If the Dolphins win, it's because McDaniel's bringing that run game to him. Nick Bosa, the defending defensive player of the month of November for the NFC. Here we go, man. Can't wait for that one. If the Dolphins win, I will tell you, it'll be the Miami 49er running game room.
Am I reading this right?
Yeah, thank you.
That's going to be a really good game. All right, Jay.
Do you think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
Okay.
All right, we talked about it last segment, too. But what's more likely, the college football playoff is chalk or Ohio State sneaks in?
I think Ohio State sneaks in. College football's too nutty for chalk to happen. I'll say we come on the air Monday and the Buckeye fans are happy. And we'll see if they take on Georgia or they take on us. We'll see. But that's what's more likely. I think it's
fun.
You know, chalk just doesn't happen all that often.
I know.
So, good what's more likely as always, sir. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. TJ, the pulpit will open when we come back. You have the fantasy hymnal already. Is it my book that's in there?
It's the hymnal.
Pardon me.
It's the hymnal.
I didn't mean to give away your secrets.
No, it's the hymnal.
Okay, very good.
Amen. Let us pray.
That's coming up next. Fantasy advice. Everybody needs it. God, it's rubber meeting the road in so many leagues. Here we go. TJ's going to help you out because that's the way we roll on the program. Back here, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We got Rashad White next hour. Lots of time for your phone call. Sit back. We all need fantasy advice. Mm-hmm. We all need fantasy advice. And it is time now to turn to my right and find TJ Jefferson, who is sitting and getting ready to give you advice from his fantasy hymnal. Hit it, please.
Rise up. The fantasy church is open.
TJ?
Yes, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to the fantasy church. And you know, Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And most times, brothers and sisters, that is true, except for when it comes to fantasy football. You can't be content with what you have. And the love of money kind of draws you into it, if you know what Brother Jefferson is saying. Now, I will lead the blind by a way that they not know. I will lead them down paths they have not known. So I'm going to tell you right now, who's not him? Brother Brockman.
Yes.
Adam Thielen is not him.
Whoa.
The Jets are number 3 in fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing receivers, and they've only allowed one touchdown to a receiver since week 8. And you know what that is? That's too much sauce. So Adam Thielen, he's going to have to sit on the pew next to us on Sunday. Isaiah Pacheco, listen, the Bengals' run defense was fantastic against Derrick Henry. Right? They held him to 38 yards. That's, what is Derrick Henry, Rich? The diminisher.
He normally is.
And he got diminished. So, I mean, this game, I think, is going to be all about Kansas City and Mahomes throwing the ball all over the field. I don't really see Pacheco having a big fantasy day, so you might want to sit him. And Jeff Wilson, listen, he has scored 3 games in a row for the Dolphins, right? But the 49ers, Chris, earlier in the week, when was the last time someone scored on them? Like 2019?
It's been a while, right? It's been four straight games, second half shutouts.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be maybe like a revenge game with him and Elijah Mitchell coming back, but I'm not starting anybody against that 49ers D right now. So even though we talked big about Jeff Wilson yesterday, I'm going to say sit him out this week. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to tell you about those men that are going to lead you down the path of glory, down that land of milk and honey to fantasy dominance. And that is Geno Smith.
Geno Smith is him.
Listen, in the Rams' past 2 games against Andy Dalton and Mahomes, they combined for 580 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 pick. That's 23.5 fantasy points.
Gino has a streak of 4 straight games with 22 fantasy points. I think your man Gino Smith is going to ball out.
Okay.
And guess who's not playing for the Rams this week? Aaron Donald. That's a sigh of relief, right, Chris? Like,
yep.
No Aaron
Big
Donald.
Sigh of relief.
You're going to sleep a little better Saturday night. Also, Christian Watson, listen. Do as I say, not as I do. Last week in my own fantasy league, I sat Christian Watson and I lost by 8 points. I'm telling you right now, put the young bull in your fantasy lineup. He scored at least 20 PPR points in the last 3 games in a row. He has 6 touchdowns over that span. Chicago has allowed receivers to score at least 14 PPR points. That's points per reception, if that's how you're doing your fantasy. So I think Christian Watson is going to be a great play. And also Gus Edwards. Get on the Gus bus, man. 3 of the past 4 running backs against the Broncos have run for at least 109 yards. And last week they gave up 178 yards on the ground. So look for Gus and Lamar to eat a little bit.
Nice.
Now we come to that part where you got to, like, really, Chris and Rich and Jason, you got to see what's in front of you, and you got to choose with your head or your gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's over. It's over. Head or gut, you got to sit Russell Wilson for the rest of the season. Like, I don't even think it's hard to say this. I don't think he even deserves to be on your roster at this point.
Well, Chris cut him, didn't you?
Dropped him for Mike White.
The Ravens have allowed just 1 QB to score more than 19 fantasy points since week 4. And, you know, Russ was awful last week against the Panthers. You know, 9 fantasy points, 15 or less in the last couple games. It's just not good. So
bottom's falling out, man.
Bottom's falling out. But guess what, Russ? I'm coming to your party, baby.
I'm coming. Well, I don't know if you're invited
to
now.
That party. And, you know, I always like to let you know, people who show the way, right? And these are guys you should pick up if they're valuable in your league. Jelani Woods, tight end for the Colts. He's now their tight end number 1. Tyrion Davis Price, running back for the 49ers. Because we all know McCaffrey could go down at any moment. You just don't know.
So
if you have him, you want that handcuff. And this is the guy I was talking about, Rich. Zonovan Knight, running back for the Jets. If Michael Carter can't play, I think Zonovan Knight is going to be a low-key, big-time fantasy pickup. And brothers and sisters, that is all we have.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Let us play. Hey!
Let us play.
Let us play.
Well, I like it. Let us play.
Well done, DJ.
Yeah, Zonovan Knight might get the rock.
Could seriously be a surprise in there, Rich.
I know. He's already gone in my fantasy league.
Same.
Morons.
Well, Brockman has, 14 teams in your 12? 14, right?
Yeah.
So there's no waiver wire help in your league.
But Russell Wilson is still available in a 14-team league?
Well, I just cut him, so yeah. I'm sure he cleared waivers.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane.
I can't.
With those receivers, that offense?
I still can't. Week 1, he lit it up. He almost threw for 350 yards.
Yeah.
And the question was, why the hell are you taking the game out of his hands and putting it on the foot of your kicker in non-altitude from 50-something yards out? I mean, nuts.
He's not even available.
There he goes.
Pick him up.
Getting him.
Is that
pick
what you're doing?
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at your fantasy advice being taken right now.
Hey, man.
That's great.
Brothers and sisters.
What is the latest on the you versus River? The loser gets a tattoo.
He is in first place. Oh, I am dead last.
Oh, no.
And
so what's the tattoo going
to
be?
Oh, well, I've been trying to just not say a word and keep it quiet, but I think you just brought it back up.
What are you talking about? He won't remember, you're saying? What you were banking on is somebody not remembering this bet?
Yeah, but it's the Cleveland Brown Elf, so you have to get the...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And by the way, River watches the show, Rich, so if he did forget,
Why would River forget? He's got a tattoo of the Rich Eisen Show running man on his body.
Way bigger than you'd think, right? Isn't it like 4 or 5 inches?
It's big. He shows it everywhere we go.
Rich, did I tell
Does
you this?
He really?
Yeah, we went to Vegas and he posed in front of everything with it.
Rich, but it's on his ass.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this story? No. A friend of mine sent me a video and it was a shot of the Rich Eisen Show on a TV and I was very confused. And the camera panned to a guy and he's like, "Hey, TJ." And I'm like, "Who is this?" And he pulls his pants down and it's a tattoo. Yeah. I was like, "Oh, it's River."